Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Mike McFarland. Hello, Mac. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Oh, boy.
Mac, did you carry your own luggage when you were catching for the Royals?
Yeah. I was a scrub. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, I hurt mine in my MCL at a play at the plate. I got to come up with something better than carrying my own luggage. If I'm salvy, it's just like, are you kidding me? That just kind of set the whole tone for day one.
So what exactly did you have? So was it a grade two? Was it similar to what Salvi has?
I don't know. It just hurt.
Right.
And I was out for 6 weeks and came back and just hit. It was towards the end of the season. I just had a hard time squatting, just getting the flexibility in there. But I was like, you know, 65 years ago. So I'm sure that the training and rehab is going to be different now.
So, but it sounds like it was a similar injury, and you're right, you know, rehab and training is better now, but still, you guys play the same position, and so when you came back, you said you're able to hit, but how difficult was it, and how much did that bother you when you tried to catch again?
Well, again, they pretty much said I wasn't going to catch, so we were just going through the rehab and the stability. They did surgery on mine just to make sure that the ACL was still okay, but it was a complete tear of the MCL, and you know they just let it scar back down. That's why you're not having any surgery. But the flexibility issue into this day is still, obviously as you get older, those things tend to come back up. But it was difficult, and I had a full off season to get it ready, and I was 100% going into the next season. I think they're going to be smart with Salvi. I think getting him back in there is imperative, but they're not going to do it for the sake of losing him for a greater period of time.
So you said you were 100%, but did you feel it? I mean, like, did it? Because I know you said you feel it nowadays. Did you feel it when you went back to finally catching the next season?
No, not at all. No, no. I was fine. In fact, you know, maybe the last couple of weeks, I was doing my catcher's drills. I was blocking. I was moving laterally. Everything was fine. You know, we had Brent Maine. They were getting a good long look at Mainer then, and they said, you know what, we're, you know, bearing down on 90 losses. Let's just forget about it and come into the next year. And look, that's not going to be the case with Salvi. He's going to be back, but you know, the 6 weeks, in my opinion, is still highly optimistic. It's just going to be a matter of what he can stand. And again, you're talking about a fairly large man that is going to have to get down there and move around. But I expect him more along the lines of 2 months back in the lineup.
All right. Mike McFarland joins us. Let's get into the pitching staff yesterday. Let's start with Danny Duffy. He had, he left his last spring training appearance with a tight shoulder. And then yesterday he started off okay, but the final line, not good. Was there anything that you saw from him yesterday that would suggest he's not 100%?
Well, that's my first point. When his velocity and the action on his changeup, I didn't see too many curveballs. That's the part that was worrisome to me. He's 90, 91 miles an hour. No, especially when it looked like he was trying to hump up and throw. I expected a little bit, and I expected them maybe to do a five and fly with Danny and get him out of there, but his stuff did not look like normal Danny Duffy action on his pitches, and I think he'd be the first one to admit it. And again, you come out of a start with shoulder tightness. The kid's a gamer. He wants to suck it up, but it was apparent, obviously, in that fourth inning when his location went to hell in a handbasket and ball started getting deposited that he was either getting very tired very quick or the stuff just wasn't there after the third inning.
Well, we got to see the entire bullpen, Mac.
Everybody. Guys, guys you never heard of. You couldn't put a face to a name. 9 pitchers total on opening day. Not exactly how Ned drew it up, but you know, that's something we're going to have to get used to. You're going to have names that that you've never heard of that are going to have to earn the trust of the Royals fans. And, you know, the Kelvin looked good. I thought he threw the ball well. Ball had some life to it. But, God dang it, it's a new experience for Royals fans to go out there with guys that you've never heard of or seen, and first-time appearances for some kids that are going to have to earn the trust of Royals fans.
You know, I was going to ask you if there's anyone else that you that you liked, and boy, I feel like it's kind of tough to pick anyone out from yesterday's performances. But like, you know, Bloom has said in the past that he's like Tim Hill, and he thinks he could be an effective reliever. Is there anyone that you saw, even if they didn't perform very well, that maybe you say, okay, I see something there. They got something.
Yeah, I'm still going to wait on that. It's one of those things, and catchers are a little bit harsher. I'm sorry.
Please.
Just get over the nerves, let them settle in, and then I'll give you my assessment of them. But, look, it was you could tell that the nerves and excitement were built in on some of those kids that, quite honestly, you're like, okay, now, did they have some decent arms? Yeah, I like that. And just it's still going to have to – Tim Hill still has to grow on me a little bit. I know that that Jamie, actually, we were talking about him at Union Station yesterday, is gonna have to grow on you. But Flynn, you know, Maurer's arm got very good pop there as well. But Grimm, Smith, Keller, gotta see him a few more times. Didn't see him enough in spring training, obviously, with the few games that were broadcast.
I think grim is a good word for the bullpen.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, you might see a lot of movement between Omaha and Kansas City of guys coming up and down, and Dayton and Ned trying to just find the right mix to supplement the guys that have been there, the experienced veterans, to hold down the fort. And it might be one of those situations where, you know, you're on that shuttle bus from Omaha to Kansas City a lot this year.
All right, offensively, Mac, Lucas Duda got off to a good start, hits the big home run, and you're thinking, well, James Shields got rocked for 33 home runs last year. The Royals might be able to knock him out of this game quick. And then, man, they didn't do anything against him for the next five innings. Was that a case of James Shields settling in, or did the Royals let him off the hook?
Well, you started seeing James Shields pitch backwards a lot more. Soft stuff early, taking some of the aggressiveness of the Royals hitters and using it against them, and setting up his fastball a little bit later. But he went from overthrowing to taking a little bit off and backing off like you would expect an experienced pitcher to do, and went from a thrower to a pitcher and kind of started throwing the soft stuff and was letting us just beat the ball into the ground, hook it a little bit, and you know, it was really good to see some hitters use the whole field, and Duda get off to a great start with the bomb. And, you know, I just thought Moose looked fantastic. It's so good seeing that kid out there again for us. I want him to break his own record this year and go out on the market and say how you like me now. But he looked really good. So, look, it's one game. There's a lot of things that I saw that I said, okay, not bad, not bad. I like the lineup a little bit more than what I thought I was going to, but we know the pitching's going to be the issue, and Danny Duffy's going to have to be the guy that mans the front of that staff, and hopefully he's healthy. I think we'll know a little bit more on his side session with Cal Eldred and work from there. The one thing you know that he's going to do is go out there and compete as long as the ball's in his hand. So, one game. Let's settle in, give it a good 2 weeks to see how things work themselves out, and then we can start formulating some doom issues. Or all right, let's get through this and watch this team get better throughout the course of the year.
Okay, so one of the guys I was excited, and I still am, about Jacob Junis, but I thought that the four and five guys, Junis and Carnes, could end up performance-wise being the number two and the number three behind Duffy, because I loved what I saw from Junis last year. And before Carnes got hurt, he was pitching very well, good strikeout per inning numbers, and looked like he was going to be a good, solid piece of that rotation. So then find out Carnes goes on the DL because of inflammation in his right elbow. And now they're talking about, well, maybe he's not going to be a fixture in the rotation. Maybe we're going to use him the way they use Chris Young, spot starter, multi-inning guy out of the bullpen. Boy, this is not looking good after what happened last year with Nate Carnes, right?
No, two gut punches, especially with Carnes. That's a guy that can come in and get the punch out when you want. Just great action on his ball. Was very excited to see him pitch. And Junis making the strides that he did last year with just an outstanding slider. I still believe Junis is going to have a good year. And you're right, I expect him to move up. They just don't want to put the pressure on him and moving him up to the front part of that rotation with Danny Duffy. But, yeah, Carnes really kills you, along with Salvi being out with the, you lose your four-hole hitter and one of your starters that you're dependent on. It couldn't be a worse DL status for the Royals right now. But, look, it's an opportunity for some of these other guys to step up and compete and go out and battle day in and day out. Problem is, everyone's just saying how crappy the White Sox are going to be, and they came out and just put an absolute beating on us and took some pitches that found the middle of the plate and didn't miss them. So, you don't expect Davidson to do what he did. He's got some pop, but, all of those pitches were pretty much right in his love zone, middle in and elevated, and he didn't miss them. So, we're going to have to pitch, obviously, a little bit better than we did, and that starts with our starting pitcher, and let's see Ian Kennedy. I fully expect Ian Kennedy to do extremely well this year. I think he's healthy. I think that leg issue last year was a heck of a lot more of a problem than he was leading on, or that the Royals were leading on. And ball seems to have good life coming out of his hand again, and I expect him to throw a gem on Saturday.
All right, Mac, I want to finish on a positive, and I know that...
Yeah, ain't that a boy. Captain Miserable coming up with a positive.
Hey, I know you're always very modest about these things, but this is the 50th anniversary of the Royals. We've had a lot of fun talking about... They put it to a fan vote, the 50 most popular Royals of all time, and you're one of them, man. You came in at number 49, and...
Woo-hoo!
Hey... You're top. I mean, that's not just like a bunch of baseball nerds sitting around looking at stats. That's the fans, like who they love the most. What does that mean to you? I mean, to know that you're one of the all time favorites among the fan base here in Kansas City.
Oh, Nate, I saw that and I was like, really? Wow. Okay. Well, it is. It's one of those things that kind of takes a moment to settle in, and you're kind of like, that's pretty damn cool. And we're not talking about an organization that hasn't had just a plethora of outstanding talent. I mean, you got two World Series and all during the 70s with the outstanding players that came here, and to be, in the top 50, that consideration at all is it's humbling, and just thrilled to be a part of it, and very, very appreciative of, your favorite team and the team you came up with and grew up with and loved. Being a part of that, Nate, it's a tremendous honor and a great thrill, and looking forward to, all the events that are going on throughout the year with the Royals, and proud to be a part of it, and proud to be in this city and a part of this community and part of the organization that drafted you.
Mac, thank you for the time. Hopefully we have better things to talk about coming up as the season goes along.
Steven? We will have a lot of good things to talk about. I'm telling you, they're going to be a little bit better than what everybody's leading on as soon as we get healthy.
Thank you, Mac. You're my life coach. Right. Thank you.
Happy Easter, boys.
That's right. Happy Easter to you and your family as well. That was Mike McFarland. Jake.
No, not. Nope.
We'll save it for off the air.
Should we?
No.
Okay. Remember when we had Mike McFarland on when that was announced that he was number 49?
No.
Yeah, I know, right? No, right, okay. Clearly the answer is no. He doesn't
right.
remember that.
No, we had him on right after they announced number 49. I know it was.
I don't remember that at all.
Maybe a month.
I know, we know,
Yeah.
Was I here? You know what? You wouldn't make it special for him.
Yeah.
Max,
I'm trying to find something positive.
Like, damn it, these guys really like that I'm the 49.
Yeah. Was I here that day?
Yes. Yeah, you were here. You were absolutely here.
You were here.
Sure?
Yep.
Because you said something alarmingly similar to what you just said. Yeah, that's gotta
I don't
be
remember
pretty,
this.
I mean, these aren't just a bunch of nerds sitting around.
Hey, You know what? A lot of stuff's happened between then and now.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
Well, it's been a while.
A month ago, probably.
So 50, you know, they went day by day, so they just got to 50, they got to number one 2 days ago or whatever, right?
When they
it was early February.
It would have been like, you know,
it's 6 weeks probably.
Like 50 days ago.
I think it might have been like a week or two after like pitchers and catchers reported, just when they broke camp.
Like, and we had them on like to start things off.
Right.
Okay.
I'm choosing to believe I wasn't here that day.
Well.
Nate, look at Jake
Nate,
right now.
Don't do that because then I'm going to go in and find it and then I'll be like, yeah, see, look.
We need you working on other things. You know how he said he has to be focused while he's calling a game? You need to be focused on the show.
I'm focused on 10 o'clock.
Well, Jake is usually focused on finding ways to embarrass me on the radio. So, you know.
Actually,
not that he needs any help.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's
Jake
not
right
hard.
Now is focused on the Roto waiver wire as he's looking to make some claims after opening day lineups now.
Pick up some of those bullpen guys?
No, I'm going to go ahead and say that neither one of us are jumping through hoops to claim any Royals bullpen guys.
Oh, well, I do remember
going, think about
turning
you.
To
Buy
Steven
low.
At one point and I go, who the hell is Smith?
Right.
His hair is sweet, but who the hell is he?
He really liked that. Look at that guy. He was like, oh
who is this guy?
Who
he's got sweet hair. Like,
right.
Then bomb. Oh.
Right, and I looked at him and go, that's who he is right there.
You're like, rule five guy. I'm like,
that's right. But you know what, though? If you've got the hair, Jake really doesn't care about your performance.
I don't.
You know,
be it
Jason Hamill or Luke Hochaver, if you've got that hair,
sweet
Jake
hair.
Is on your side. Back after this on WHB.